Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thank you for joining me for episode 8 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. And I just have to say, like, every time I start these shows, breathing heavy because there's like a voice that comes on in my receiver that tells me, your show will go live in 5 seconds, 4, 3, 2, 1. And something about that just gets me so jacked up, like all of a sudden I can't breathe correctly. Anyway, I hope you had a good Mother's Day and that you are having a beautiful Tuesday morning. I've been talking a lot lately about divine guidance and surrender, so I guess I'm just going to continue on with that theme today. And I hope you're not sick of it already, because I am so not, and I'm definitely going through a phase. I tend to go through lots of these phases, and I'll revisit a subject like many, many times. That's just how I learn and process information. I think it's like a cyclical thing. And the subjects don't really change much. I've got a dozen or so pet subjects that I've been rolling around in for as long as I can remember. But each time, whatever it is that I'm studying or contemplating, this time it's surrendering to the divine, each time I revisit it, my understanding of it goes deeper and I get excited about it all over again. So in going through this current phase, I've also been revisiting my passion for psychic development, which to me goes hand in hand with divine guidance. And so, also, I just don't want to wind up confusing you. I often use the terms psychic ability and intuition interchangeably, although I hope to demonstrate the subtle difference between them later on. My friend Lisa recently recommended a book to me called Diary of a Psychic, which I absolutely adored. It's the autobiography of Sonia Choquette's early years as a developing psychic. And even though I already knew her work, because I'm a big Hay House fan, reading her life story was quite compelling for me. Sonia was an extremely gifted psychic, basically from birth, which I think we all may be, although that's pretty hard to prove considering how soon that all gets programmed out of us. But Sonia was blessed to be raised in a family that actually recognized and openly talked about spirit guides and being a psychic. Sonia's mother was, in fact, a practicing psychic, and Sonia's first teacher, she actually taught her how to develop herself psychically and had her doing readings for strangers when she was still quite little, and apparently she was very good at it. And she had clients when she was just like a kid in elementary school, which is kind of funny. And then after that, she met a famous professional psychic and was given more formal training. But even then, she was still just a kid. That was like in her teenage years. But for me, my teachers were books, as I'm sure comes as no surprise to you, me and my books, 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 books. If you've been following the show and looking at the resource list that I provide for each episode, you've probably started to notice some overlap with the books that I mentioned, like The Inner Temple of Witchcraft, Extraordinary Psychic, Practical Intuition. That's because these are books that I have turned to again and again for reference. And for me, this stuff really never gets old. There's always another step forward to take or another layer deep that you can go. So anyway, back in the day, back in my pre-internet days, books were a luxury and were bought few and far between, the basic necessities of life, like, food. So I didn't have very many books back then. And as far as psychic development goes, I had two. Opening to Channel by Sanaya Roman, which was really about channeling specifically, and Laura Day's Practical Intuition. And in a way, it was a blessing that I could only afford those two books and that they were all I had on the subject for years, because instead of cramming a bunch of information into my head so that I could compare and contrast the various techniques and analyze the crap out of it, as I'm prone to do, I was able to experience those books, really consider each little nugget of insight and put it into practice. And I believe that intuition, spiritual guidance, or psychic development, whatever you want to call it, it's all about feeling rather than thinking. It's an experiential process. So you got to get out of your head to really experience it and learn at a level that leads to real understanding. And since that time in my life was less about the consumption of tons of information and pre-internet days, it was more about practical application. And much of what I learned, I still do to this day. It just kind of formed the basis of my practice. And I've really gotten into the etymology of words lately. Maya Doust actually got me into that. Maja Doust. And I hope to interview her for Every Which Way. We were scheduled to do that, but she was having some computer issues, and now I'm really getting off topic, but she's awesome. Anyways, the etymology of words can be very revealing, and I was thinking about the word intuition and how it begins with the word in, which seems fairly self-explanatory, but when I think of the word tuition, if you break it into two parts and you think about the word tuition, I don't know, I always, when I hear that word, I think about the fee that a student has to pay when they go to school, which didn't really make a lot of sense to me, so I looked up the etymology only to find that the original meaning of the word tuition was guardianship or guidance, looking after, protection, or care. So when you combine that with in, you have a kind of guardianship within, from within, inner guidance, which got me thinking about terms like spirit guides and angel guardians. So it would seem, just based on the archaic meaning of this word, intuition, that we have our very own spirit guide built right in. And this is what is often called your higher self. And I genuinely believe that we are all psychic, humans and animals alike, especially animals. And the only reason I say especially animals is because many humans have cut themselves off from their sixth sense. They doubt it, deny it, or just ignore it altogether. Society encourages them to do so from a very early age. And not to get too political on you here, but I am one of many people who believe that this happened when patriarchy took over the West and we became an imbalanced culture that overvalued the masculine and began to rather aggressively undermine the feminine. The linear, logical, take it at face value, left brain part of ourselves became dominant, even in women, and the receptive feeling part of ourselves became something to question or be ashamed of. So if you could see it with your eyes, smell it with your nose, hear it with your ears, taste it with your tongue, or feel it with your hands, it was legit. But anything beyond that was a bunch of woo-woo nonsense, or worse, sacrilege. But what is beyond that? Is there something beyond that? And of course, the answer is a resounding hell yes, as many of us in the spiritual community know all too well. We are the people who, for whatever reason, cherished and protected that secret part of our psyche, or have, as adults, come to realize that something was missing and gone back to reclaim it. And if you don't believe me, just go visit Llewellyn Worldwide or Hay House Publishing. Go to their websites and see how many books are published on the subjects of soul retrieval, psychic development, intuition, or inner guidance. It's a pretty popular topic, and I think there's a reason for that. There is a sixth sense, and if you utilize that pentagram or star shape that we were talking about in the Witch's Pyramid episode, if you heard the Witch's Pyramid episode, maybe you know what a Witch's Pyramid is. Anyways, you can alternately assign each of the five points of the star to one of the basic five senses, we are taught about back in elementary school. And then in the center of that star or pentagram, you can place the sixth sense, which is appropriate. It should be at the center or the heart of such a diagram because it's at the center or the heart of you. And the sixth sense is really just an umbrella term for a number of finer, more specific senses and psychic abilities. It also goes by names like gut instinct, intuition, or inner guidance, and it refers to the mysterious little hunches or flashes of insight you get that turn out to be right. And I always think that's so exciting. That really never gets old for me, no matter how many years I've been doing this. Every time I have an intuition about something that turns out to be right, I do like the little happy dance inside. Which I guess is why this has fascinated me for so many years, and why I'm talking to you about it now. And it's my belief that, you know, beyond your senses and beyond, you know, whatever talent you may have for psychic ability, that your entire body, each and every part of it, is in cahoots with your intuition and your sixth sense. Your intuition can speak to you. This is just an example or several examples. It can speak to you in a sudden wave of chills or goosebumps all over your body, a sick feeling in the pit of your stomach, the hair standing up on the back of your neck, or a creaky knee that predicts the rain. So your whole body is psychic, really. And Richard Blackstone is this guy that I found on YouTube, and I don't know why his videos aren't more popular. I mean, yes, he's a little bit nerdy, but so am I. And his information is good. And he stopped making videos, but they're still up. I guess maybe he just got discouraged that people weren't watching. But I was watching, Richard. And he talks about this, how every cell in your body is intuitive. And I could not agree more. It's how we were designed to operate. And it's a pity that more of us don't put stock in this amazing system that we have and use it. So you can also consider your intuition or sixth sense as an entire sensory system that you have in addition to your five basic senses that you're taught about when you're a kid. So whereas your physical senses extract information from the physical world, your intuitive senses access them from within. So keeping this in mind, there are psychic or intuitive gifts that accompany each of the five primary senses. And they are clairvoyance, which is to see, to actually see a visual image in your mind's eye. And this might present itself to you in a dream or a guided meditation, or it could just pop out at you when you're interacting with certain individuals, whether on purpose or because you're a professional reader and you've trained yourself to do so, or just on accident maybe from time to time because you just happen to be gifted that way. That's what remote viewing is all about. And what is the name of this book? It's so fun. Oh, Extraordinary Psychic. That book talks about how our government actually used remote viewing, and that is so much fun to read about. So I don't think our government would spend millions of dollars investing in something if they didn't think it was the real deal. And that's kind of a dubious endorsement, I guess. So let's just move along. The next one is clairaudience, to hear. So you might actually hear a word uttered or an entire dialogue take place in your head. And some people actually experience this as being outside themselves until they realize that the other people in the room aren't hearing what they're hearing. And for me, this always just shows up like as a song, and I won't even realize it's happening. I'll just be like, whatever, cleaning the house or driving my car, and maybe I'll have a question on my mind or an issue, and then I'll just notice that I'm like singing lyrics to some random pop song, maybe even a pop song I don't even like, and then I'll just stop and laugh because I'll realize that those lyrics are actually the answer to whatever issue I'm having or question that I'm having, and that happens to me all the time. So that's like my only clairaudient skill. so far. And then less commonly, you have clairjustance, which is taste. So that's kind of a strange one. You know, it kind of makes me think of that expression we have of someone leaving a bad taste in your mouth. And back in the day when I was an actor, we did an exercise called sense memory, and we actually used taste to conjure up emotions. And we would practice the first exercise you learn when you learn sense memory, which is a method acting technique, is to, you know, you eat an orange, you look at it, you feel it, you smell it, you taste it, you use all your senses to take it in. And then you try to recreate that just with your imagination. And if you do it enough, you actually can taste the orange, which is super interesting. And if orange has some emotional connotation for you, that can, like, conjure up these old emotions, which is obviously handy if you're an actor. And then there's something called clairalience, which is smell. And, again, that kind of brings to mind, like, certain expressions we have. Like, we'll say, you know, something about this situation just stinks. And if you're into ghost stories or those ghost hunter TV shows, you may have heard someone talk about how they can smell a ghost or a demon, if you believe in demons. And they'll often describe that smell as being very sulfury or like a mildew kind of smell. And then, of course, there's psychic touch or clairtangency, which is more popularly referred to as psychometry. And this is something that I haven't really had a lot of personal experience with beyond a few interesting experiments, especially when I was I did a year and a day with the Inner Temple of Witchcraft, and that was really fun. But anyway, I think clairtangency or psychometry, it's super fascinating, and I've been tempted to take some of the group psychometry classes that I've seen listed at my local witchy shop. I definitely think that it's something better to learn in a group, and preferably with strangers or at least objects from strangers, so that your knowledge of the person that you're working with doesn't interfere. And Lois Bourne, in her book Conversations with a Witch, talks a lot about psychometry. That's like one of her strong suits, and she explains how to do it. And which many books do, really, but I just happen to like her style. She's interesting to me for whatever reason. And then moving beyond the five senses of seeing, tasting, hearing, smelling, and touch, whether physically or psychically, you get into more ethereal terrain, like feeling and knowing. And that's when you have things like clairsentience, which is you just have a feeling about something or get gut instinct about something. You might be an empath, as some people call themselves. And then there is claircognizance, which is just to know. And I think this is the most mysterious of these clair senses. And clair, by the way, just means clear. So I think that's another interesting bit of etymology. But I find claircognizance, which is a hard word to say, and I find it the hardest to explain of all of the psychic abilities. And funny enough, it's the one that I personally have had the most experience with, and always spontaneously. I have the craziest, most hair-raising stories about this. And this has been with me since forever, my whole life. I will just know something about someone, or I will just know that something is about to happen, and I will have no idea how. I don't know. I don't hear anything. I don't see anything. I just all of a sudden know. And many, 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 many times it has proven to be ridiculously accurate. It never lets me down. It's very bizarre. And my husband could probably tell you a few funny stories about that. Anyway, you may be especially gifted in any one of these intuitive senses, or enjoy some combination of them all. And the good news is, these are senses that, even if you don't feel particularly gifted, you can develop and strengthen through practices like meditation, channeling, divination, or calling in your spirit guides, all things that I do. It also just pays to recognize and acknowledge when you're having an intuitive hit, and to act on it. I find that that is the very best way to not only develop confidence in your ability, but to invite more of it in. So just be aware of when you're having one of these intuitive hits, and maybe even write it down. and keep a little journal in the beginning to see, you know, what happens and how accurate that inner voice is. It might surprise you. And something also that really interests me about this subject is the variety of explanations the so-called experts, even the authors and teachers that I really admire, offer up for what we are communicating with and the various rules for accessing it. For example, Teresa Caputo, the Long Island medium. The new season of her show debuted last night, and I watched it because I love it. I think she's genuinely gifted, super wacky, but in a fun way, and psychically gifted. Do I believe that she's speaking with the dead loved ones of her clients? I believe that she believes she is, and I believe that her clients believe she is. She says some pretty compelling stuff that never fails to amaze the people she's working with. But the analytical part of me thinks that perhaps, and I really don't know, this is just a theory, but perhaps she could be picking up on the memories that her clients have about those lost loved ones. I mean, if you think about it, it's equally plausible, and I suppose this kind of questioning is like the curse of approaching these things mind first with the intellect, because the intellect is kind of like a faith zapper. But interestingly, I question these things all the time, and I still have plenty of faith. I have faith in my ability to access psychic information. I have faith in my ability to access spiritual guidance. I just don't have faith in any one theory as to where or who this information is coming from. It could be coming from God, the higher self, the collective unconsciousness, the Akashic records, dead people, spirit guides, or all of the above. As long as it's positive, constructive, and loving, I'm good with that. And one of the things that I love about Laura Day, the author of Practical Intuition, which was, I can't remember which I got first, that or Opening the Channel, but it was one of my first books on this subject. One of the things I love about her is that she calls herself an intuitive rather than a psychic and differentiates between the two by saying that there's a lot of philosophy associated with the word psychic, whereas intuition is just a natural function, a natural faculty that we all possess. So I think that's an interesting distinction to make, especially when you get into all the different, you know, theories that people to assign to the why and the how and the what and the who. Sonia Choquette, in her book, Ask Your Guides, talks about all of these various forms of spirit that I've mentioned here and more. She believes in them all, and that you can access, call in, and ask for guidance from everything from earth gnomes and air sylphs to ascended masters and, of course, your own higher self. And she outlines dozens of guides, like all the different kinds of guides that there are and their various qualities, as well as instructions as to how you can contact them and for what reason. She thinks there's different guides for different, you know, moments in your life. And what I really like about her work is that she emphasizes that these beings are here to guide and teach. They do not work for you, although they don't do the work for you, although she does talk about runner and helper spirits who will help you find your lost car keys or land the perfect parking spot. So go figure. Her approach is, it's just very light and playful, which I love. She just has almost like a childlike spirit, even though she's extremely wise, and that's just so lovable. So I really like her. Thank you, Lisa, if you're listening, for recommending her autobiography to me. Anyway, she's the best audiobook narrator that I have ever come across. I have that book, Ask Your Guides, on audio, and I have to say that at no time does it come off that she's reading the book, which is really rare, and it sounds like she's just right there in the room with you having a conversation. I also have the audio version of Outrageous Openness by Tosha Silver, which I talked about recently, and that book is all about divine guidance, and while it may be the better book, at least in my opinion, the delivery definitely takes some getting used to, which I find is just common with audiobooks. Anyway, I've talked enough about Outrageous Openness and other, you know, another radio show and videos, so I've talked enough about that book, but it's relevant to this conversation, and if you haven't checked it out, I recommend picking a copy up. And I just thought I'd throw that in once more for good measure. Other books that you might want to look into as far as like developing a technique goes would be The Inner Temple of Witchcraft by Christopher Pinczak and Lori Cabot's Power of the Witch. Both have detailed sections on the science of magic and how to get into an alpha state, which is really a whole other conversation, but something that is absolutely relevant in terms of developing your powers of intuition or your psychic ability. So I thought I'd just mention that Lori Cabot was actually Christopher Pinczak's teacher, but he goes into greater detail about that in The Inner Temple of Witchcraft. And he talks about a variety of different things that pertain to this subject. And that book actually makes a really good workbook. Like I said, I did that book for a year and a day program that I did with some friends. And I found it very helpful. I knew a lot of the information in it already, but like I said, it's helpful to revisit that information. And every time I do, it kind of goes deeper and deeper. And I really like the layout of that book. And just remember, beyond books, which are fun and informative, that experience is the best teacher and that everything you need to learn, you already know on some level. So maybe you just need to remind yourself, and books can be helpful for that. So I hope you found this helpful. I'm all done. Early again, 2 weeks in a row. I'm very proud of myself. Next week, I will be talking about love versus fear and how you create your own heaven or hell right here on earth. So in the meantime, I hope you have a beautiful week. I will talk to you next Tuesday at 9 a.m. Much love and peace.